Let's go ahead and turn on our Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. We've been talking about the calling of the Lord over the past few Sundays. And this has kind of morphed into a series that I was not necessarily intending. But as these messages just kind of kept coming about the calling of the Lord, there's so much that we can investigate from the Word of God that leads us into that mindset of how we approach the calling of the Lord. And again, when we start talking about the calling of the Lord, I want us to understand, I am not just talking about somebody that is called to, say, a specific ministry. Like, say, somebody that would be called to be a pastor of a church, or somebody that would be called to a mission field, or even called to teach a Sunday school class, for that matter. What I'm talking about is in regards to a general calling that we all as believers have. And we're going to look at some of those callings that we all have. We know there's few of them that we've kind of touched on. There's one that's very clear over there in Ephesians chapter 4 about walking worthy. We're called to walk worthy of the vocation. And there's certain things that we have to do in order to do that. But what we find with this passage is we find that somebody is called, and this is a familiar passage sometimes, where you have an individual, Isaiah, that has this response to the calling of God. And if you jump down there in this chapter, and I want you to look at chapter 6, verse 8, it says, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And here's Isaiah, and what does he say? Then said I, here am I, send me. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for a time that we can come and, Lord, receive instruction from your word. We do pray that this morning our hearts would be humble and that with humility we would approach this, ready to receive instruction from your Spirit. Lord, ready to receive encouragement. Lord, ready to receive edification and comfort. And Lord, I thank you so much for all that you have given to us. Above all, the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, his resurrection that we may have that eternal life, and Lord, your word that continues to guide us and direct us in your will, that we would please you and glorify you with all that we do. And Lord, we just seek that this morning, that everything that is said and done would be honoring to your name, who you are, and what you have done for us. Pray, Lord, you just use me this morning, speak through me, clear my mind that everything that is said would glorify who you are and what you have done. And all of this I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what we have here is we have this common verse where this response is, here am I, send me. And many times that phrase and that verse is used to show an individual that is doing something that may be a challenging subject. Maybe a challenging task, maybe something that they are very much going to be put into conflict in regards to what they do. Many times this verse is used for law enforcement officers because there is a bit of a calling with that when they have to go and do things of that nature. They deal with some of the most difficult people in this society. But they're also there and help us that are not that difficult to deal with. Hopefully you're not difficult with the law enforcement officers, but there's a calling there. This verse is, and I'm just saying, this verse is used for that. But this verse is very much talking to somebody that has an understanding of who God is and even has a greater understanding of what this calling is going to be about. And what we find with this example, as we talked about with Moses, there was some doubts. There was a lot of questions that he had. There was some responses where he was thinking, I'm not qualified to do this. This is not something that I really want to do even, Lord. And there was a bit of a struggle there with Moses' life and how he was called. And we looked at that last week. There may be doubts that get cast. Sometimes from our own, sometimes from other people, sometimes from the devil himself. That it's going to show up in our hearts that we struggle with what the Lord has called us to do. Maybe it might be a momentary calling where we're struggling with, giving the gospel to somebody. I will tell you that when that happens, many times we think we stumble and we flub over our words and so on and so forth. But I will say that many times the person that you're talking to isn't looking for the eloquent speech. They might be looking for truth. When we were over in Idaho a few weeks ago, we happened to go to Boise or Meridian, Idaho's In-N-Out that was over there. The lines were a lot shorter, amen? And we were over there, and it was inundated with young people. This was late at night. It was the last night of the conference, and we went with some friends. I went with John Robinson and Mike Sherry and their families, and we went to just go have some discussions and just talk with friends and just have some food. And we went there, and it was interesting. All these young people are there, and they're just, they actually had cops there. They had three law enforcement officers watching the place, because apparently they got a little rowdy. But that being said, I'm just standing there, and we came from the conference. I'm in a suit. Mike Sherry's there, and he's dressed nice as well. And I'm going to get a soda for my wife from the fountain. And this guy approaches me and he says, "Hey, sir, can I ask you a quick question? You look really nice. You must be in the engineering field." Like, no. And then he looks at Mike Sherry and says, well, you must be in the engineering field too. And Mike Sherry's like, "No, we're preachers." And then he just was like, oh. He goes, "Well, I'm a believer too." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm a Muslim." A little bit of a difference there. just a small one. and I was like, "Oh, okay." Mike Sherry looks at me and I look at him and I just said, "Oh, okay. Well, I said, it's good that you know about who you think God may be, but I said, it's really important who you know who Jesus Christ is." And I said, "You need to go back to the words of the prophet Muhammad in the Quran." And I started talking to him about that because I've read the Quran. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm familiar with some of the beliefs of Islam. I'm not going to be claim to be an expert in any way, shape, or form. But I just said, you need to go back to what he says. And that is Muhammad himself says that to understand things that are spiritual, you have to go back to those that had the word of God first, which were the Jews and the Christians in the Bible. Amen. And he looks at me like, "How do you know anything about Muhammad?" And because he was from Afghanistan. He was actually from Kabul, but he was born here, but he hadn't been over there recently with all the stuff that was going on. And I just started talking to him about how important it was. And talking about that Jesus Christ is more than just a prophet, that he's more than just a man, that he's God. And I gave him my business card that has the plan of salvation on the back, and I said, "I'd love to talk with you about it some more at some point in time." He was just there trying to network. But you know what? That was an instantaneous calling, right? We have to be willing to say, "Hear my, send me." And I want to show this, that when we examine this calling that is here, we look at it in such a way that we realize that there's something that has to exist. While there may be some doubts, there may be some questions about the Lord using us, I will say there are great examples in Scripture where individuals, when the calling was made, they simply responded with surrender. The calling of God is going to require some surrender in your life. You're going to just have to yield to what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in your life and what the Lord is leading you to do. It's when we buck and when we say, "No, I don't want to do this," then all of a sudden some things and some difficulties may come up in our lives. But what we are looking at here is we see something about Isaiah where he had this willingness. He said, "Here am I, send me." Lord asks, "Who's going to go?" And he's over there. If you've ever taught a junior church class, you ever have that one kid that's during the class and sits there the whole time? He's got his hand raised. He's making eye contact with you, and you're like, oh, I'll get your question afterwards. He's like, gets insistent about that. You know, like the hand raises, like, I got it. And you dare not ask because it's going to be something that's going to get you off track. And then you get to the question afterwards, and either they forgot it or it's something like, I saw a bunny on the side of the road. Okay, that had nothing to do with the lesson, but that's great. That's why you refrain from answering those during that time. But here's Isaiah, that same kind of, if you will, urgency of, you know, here am I, send me. There was no doubt. There was a willingness that he had there. And when there's this willingness to do whatever it is that God asks you to do, there is not going to be a doubt that this is what the Lord wants you to do. You have to have that willingness to start with. You have to be willing that if the Lord calls you to whatever individual specific type ministry it may be, that you are already fulfilling the first calling of doing what the Lord is asking you to do in your own personal life before he calls you to do something else. If you're willing to read your Bible on a daily basis, if you're willing to engage the Lord in prayer, if you're willing to be a witness, if you're willing to edify the body of Christ, if you're willing to do those things, the will of God, if you're willing to do the will of God, then you'll be willing whenever the Lord calls you to something specific. And many times he did that with individuals. Many times he was developing these individuals, as we've talked about, and we saw how there were some physical things that were being used to develop. And here you've got Moses over there, and he's for 40 years. What has he been doing? He's been leading sheep on the backside of a wilderness, the desert. Well, what did he do for 40 years? He led the nation of Israel, a bunch of sheep, on the backside of a desert in the wilderness. The same with David. David started out as a shepherd. And he shepherded a people as a king. I mean, there's important principles that we see as the Lord develops that. But I will say this, they were willing to do those things first. They were willing to do whatever it was that was being asked first. I had an individual come to me one time, and they wanted to do something in the church, and they were all excited about doing some things. And they'd been coming to the church for a little bit, and they're like, well, okay, I think the Lord wants me to do something. The Lord wants me to do something in the church. And he's like getting excited about some things. And he had these ideas of what he wanted. And I said, oh, well, praise God. I said, here we are, you know, the Panda Express in Salmon Creek. And I'm like, oh, praise God. I really, truly need somebody to do a very important ministry. And he's like, really? And he just, his eyes lit up, and he was all excited about it. He goes, yeah, I've been praying about this. Brother, if you could help me, I need somebody to lead the cleaning ministry. The look on his face told me exactly everything I needed to know. And it went from a smile to a, oh. You realize the cleaning ministry is one of the most important ministries in this church? Yes. It's one of the most laborious ministries in this church. It's a hard ministry. And by the way, if you're wanting to sign up, please do. There's a plug, amen, Chris? Go see that woman over there. She's in charge of the cleaning ministry. She'll get you set up. She'll get you on the schedule. She'll show you how to clean things and take care of it. You got to be willing. This morning, the nursery was invaded by two big, nasty-looking spiders. I'm like, ah, yeah, we got a spider problem. And they were in there, and some of the teenage girls were looking at it like, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna have to kill them. I'm like thinking about, okay, there's ways I can do this, but there's ways that should not be done, so I got to figure this out. So I went to go get a broom, and in the meantime, Autumn Perry gets up on there and she just grabs it and just goes, she gets him. And I'm like, and they were big honkers too. I mean, they were like, yeah. She just gets them. You know what? There was a calling. She answered it. I said, officially W spider killer. And she goes, no, thank you. She rejected that ministry. Rightfully so, amen. But you know, there was a willingness that's there. This is what the Lord wants in our life, is that when the call comes out, that we just respond in that way. And notice that there was nothing done here with dispute. Like Moses, well, they're not going to believe me. Well, what am I supposed to say? I can't say that. I got a speech impediment, whatever it is. The end result is that Isaiah here, he doesn't stutter. He doesn't say anything. He just says, here am I, send me. And I want you to understand, as we've talked about this before, his willingness to do this was without understanding what the calling was. He didn't say, hold on a second. Tell me exactly what I'm going to be doing and then I will let you know. He didn't do that. He didn't say, I'm willing, but as long as it meets this X, Y, and Z, okay? No, he didn't say that. There was no qualifications either. He didn't qualify his call. He just said, I'll go. And he was willing to do that without understanding what the job was going to be. And the Lord gets into what the job is going to be, and he says in verse 9 here, he says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. What is he saying? You're going to go to a bunch of people that have no understanding and are refusing to listen. And I said, amen. Because that's sometimes us, amen? Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't hearken. We don't hear. We don't listen. We don't want to receive instruction. We definitely don't want to receive correction and rebuke. We only want to hear the nice, comforting words. No, correction is comfort. Amen?
Amen.
When you start realizing correction is comfort, then things change in your life. But here we are looking at this situation, and he goes through and he says, you're going to have people that aren't going to listen to you. They're not going to like you. You're going to go, you're the ministry, whatever it is you're going to do here, Isaiah, is not going to be successful in the eyes of men. Isaiah didn't recant. Isaiah didn't repent of this. You know what he just simply said? Okay. And he went and he did this. And we have a whole book that talks about it, of what he said to people that would refuse to listen, to warnings, to heed the warnings of God, to heed all these things. But I want you to understand that as part of the preparation for willingness, I want you to see one of the most important parts. I want you to go to the verse part, go to chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 1. It says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Okay, the year that Uzziah died, remember Uzziah? He was a good king. Right up until he thought he should do something that he ought not do. And he went into the temple to offer incense and do stuff that he was not authorized to do as king. He was trying to do the priest's job. And the priests were like, you have no business being here. And they withstood the king. And they said, no, you cannot be here. And he insisted, and the Lord smote him with leprosy right there in front of them. Leprosy is a nasty disease. And when it's evident, it is evident. And they saw him, and they were like, eh! And they thrust him out of the temple because he's not supposed to be there as a leper. He's not supposed to be anywhere near it. They thrust him out, and he has to go into exile. He couldn't even live in the king's palace. He lived in a separate place for 7 years until he died. A horrible death. You know, that was traumatic for the people of Israel. When you have your leader do something like that, to take on something that they ought not be taking on, to do something that was outside of God's word, that was traumatic. And here's Isaiah in that year that he died, and here's the king's dead. They got a new king coming in. Here's Jotham coming in, and everybody's like, okay, well, what's this king going to be like? There's a lot of, you know, there's the transitional anxiety that exists. Amen. And what happens? There it is in that year, Isaiah sees something. And what does he see here? He says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it stood, above it stood the seraphims. One had each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. What? What is that? That's a seraphim. I guarantee you, if you saw one of those, you would probably be running the other way. Same with the cherubim, right? These spiritual creatures, the way that the Lord designed them, they're not their normal thing that we would see. Six wings. And there's even other things that are described about them. Verse 3, it says, one cried to another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You know, there are people that have a loud voice. A friend of mine that just recently passed away, Carmen Hudson, he had a loud voice. When he said amen, the first five rows that were in front of him, everybody ducked. Because it was like, whoa, what is that? He had that voice. He had a commanding voice. You could hear it above everything else. There are tapes, preaching tapes and live streams that you can hear. You hear Carmen Hudson as clear as the guy that is preaching. That's how loud his voice was. This voice is louder. This voice that is saying, holy, 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 is actually moving things. Things are quaking. In verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. Here you are in the presence of God at his throne. You know, some of these people have this idea that they're going to stand in front of God and they're going to defy him face to face. Not even a chance. That's not the way it's going to be. They're not going to respond that way. They're going to be undone. Just like he did, was there. When he saw the glory of the Lord, when he saw his train filling the entire temple, when he saw him on the throne, and I don't know how much he saw of him, because the Bible says no man has seen God and lived. I don't know how much he saw of him, but I do know this, that there are some people that had a clear glimpse of who he was, Moses being one, Ezekiel being one, others being included in this. Here he is seeing this temple, seeing this throne room that is inside that temple, seeing things quake, seeing seraphims, seeing all of this. He says, I'm done. You'd be speechless. And he says, because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he realizes, am I dead? what is this? And I want you to notice, though, how he approaches this. Isaiah realizes the frailty of who he is. Isaiah realizes that he himself has committed iniquity, that he himself could be included in this group of people that are gone back away from God. And he is saying, look, I am of unclean lips. I shouldn't even be saying anything here. But the Lord is looking for somebody to go and tell. I mean, that's what he says right there in verse 9, go and tell. Go and tell. And here he is before that calling, realizing he's saying, I'm out of unclean lips. I can't do this. And what happens in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken off the tongs from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And here he is showing something to him with that live coal. And again, if you've got that creature flying at you that has a tongs and has a burning, you know, burning coal and walks up to you, or dare I say flies up to you, your life would change, amen? And then he says, hold still. Let me put this right here. He didn't shirk away. And then there was the call in verse 8. And I say all of that to say this. I want you to understand that the willingness of Isaiah at the point in verse 8 was because he had seen the glory of the Lord. Now look, you're probably not going to see it this way, the way he did. But I will tell you this. If you start looking at your life, you're going to start seeing the glory of the Lord in it.
Amen.
If you're a saved, born-again child of God, you have already seen some of the glory of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You have forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Amen.
You have a home in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you, and you have a Bible in your lap or on your phone, whichever it may be. You've got one, right? You've seen the glory of the Lord. You've seen the glory of the Lord work in your life. You've seen answered prayer. You've seen answered prayer in other people's lives. You've seen how people have gone through difficult times and they're still faithful and they're still serving you. And that's not because of them. That's because of what the Lord is doing in their lives. You've seen the glory of God. And the more you open your eyes to the glory of God, the more you are probably going to say, I am undone. And then step back and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. I've seen the Lord take things like accidents and lead people to the Lord. I personally see that. Personally happened to me. I've seen individuals have traumatic things happen in their lives, and it winds up being used for the glory of God in a way that no man would ever think possible. I mean, I guarantee you, most of us here, we've probably gone through some tough stuff. Most of us here probably have at least one or two life events that have been fairly traumatic to us. And I will say this, that can all be used for the glory of God. Just ask Joseph. And here Isaiah sees this, and his instant response is, if I'm seeing this, if I see the glory of the Lord, if I see the hand of God, if I see my sins being purged and forgiveness here, then I am willing to say, here am I, send me. This is the response to a call. He understood his condition. He understood what needed to be done. There was purification that was given for the work that he was about to do. Because here he is going to have to go tell people. And the stuff that was coming out of his mouth, he understood that it was probably not good according to the Lord's standards. And he understood that something needed to happen. And he allowed for that to happen in his life. He allowed the Lord to do something in such a way that he was preparing him for that. Now, we look at this as a very supernatural thing. We look at this as something that we're like, if that happened to me, I'd probably be like dead. But what we find here is we just find the principle of responding to the call of God with willingness, without dispute, without doubt. Because I want you to understand, here he is realizing, who am I to say things? Who am I to speak? Who am I to do all these things? I'm of unclean lips around a bunch of unclean people. I will tell you this, the calling was never about Isaiah. The calling was never about Moses. The calling was never about Abraham. The calling was never about David. The calling was never about Paul. The call was never about you. The call is about Him, our Lord, our Savior, I mean, notice there that he refers to who will go for us. I don't think he was talking about the seraphims or the cherubims. He was talking about himself. He was talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's talking about it in a Trinitarian sense here. He's being very clear here about this, saying who's going to go, who's going to say the Word of God, who's going to be led by the Spirit, who's going to follow the commission of the Father. Isaiah responds, "Here am I, send me." It is never about us. It's never about our abilities. It's never about our qualifications. Look, just because you have an ability to do something does not mean that that's exactly what the Lord wants you to do. My background is very muddled and mixed with all sorts of things. And I would have never thought in a million years I'd be standing right here. I'm not that guy. I'm not that type of a person. But you know what? It's not about my abilities. It's not about my capability. It's not about what I've learned. I've had people come up to me and say, "Oh, which Bible college did you go to?" The college of none. Your university of didn't go. The institute of what, where? I went to secular college. I went to all these different things. But I will tell you this, it's not all about a college degree. It's not about how many letters you have behind your name. You know what it is about? It's about His Word. Amen. It's about His Spirit. It's about His salvation. It's about God Himself. It's about God the Father. It's all about Him anyways. Right. And what do we find? We find the Lord using somebody that just happened to be a prophet and use him in a mighty way. The book of Isaiah is so rich and filled with the visions of who God is, with Jesus Christ, with the millennial reign, with perfect justice and perfect judgment and judgment that is coming. There's things in here that are just amazing to read. The book of Isaiah with its 66 chapters is just so much that is contained in it that exemplifies all the other books of the Bible, combining them. And we find here Isaiah is the one that is tasked to say these things. Isaiah is the one that is tasked to write these things down. Isaiah is tasked with going to a people that are going to outlive him. Because this book is still applicable to people today, amen? To Jews and Gentiles alike. To those that are coming after us. To those in the tribulation. To those that are in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. To all mankind. Regardless of age. This book is applicable. I want you to go over to the book of 1 Samuel. I want you to see something here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we have Samuel as a little boy. And I want to point this out really quickly. And while, yes, we were talking about Isaiah and his willingness, I also want you to see a couple other individuals that responded that had the same willingness here. And in the little child Samuel at this point, his life is not the life that normally a child would have. His mom prayed for a son or prayed for a child. The Lord gave him a child a child, and she took that child and she gave him right back to God. Gave him right back to God. And she said, "I want him doing the service of the Lord. I want him to grow up, like physically grow up in the tabernacle, in the service of God. I'm giving him to Eli." whose sons were not that great of a people. Could you imagine that? That blows my mind. But here she is, she gives him, and here's Samuel, and he's living with Eli and his family. And here he is as a child in chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It means that the only thing that they had was the stuff that was written down. Nobody was getting talked to by God. Well, probably rightfully so, considering what was going on in the apathy and the debauchery that was going on with the Israelites at that point. Nobody was getting anything from God. God wasn't communicating to them because they had turned the radio off. They weren't listening. And we find that through all of this, here's Eli, and he's asleep, and then, you know, Samuel's trying to sleep in the other room. And we can read the story a little bit as we go through it later on. But the Lord calls to Samuel and calls him, and Samuel thinks it's Eli that's calling him. And Eli still has enough spiritual sense to perceive that it's God calling. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Here's the high priest. God's not talking to him. And now all of a sudden, God's talking to a child. Say what you will about Eli. He had enough sense to say, well, if the Lord's talking to somebody, somebody better listen.
Amen.
Even if he isn't talking to me, somebody better listen. And we find where in verse 8, it says, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, here am I. Just like Isaiah, here am I, here am I, here am I. He was willing to do whatever Eli wanted. And it says here, for thou didst call me, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. In verse 10, it says, and the Lord came and stood. Did you get that? And called, as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Three times he says, here am I, here am I, here am I. And Eli says, next time it happens, I want you to be willing to listen. When the calling comes in your life, having the willingness is important, but willingness can turn to zeal, misplaced zeal, very quickly. You have to be willing to what God tells you. You have to be willing to hear it. And we find here, this is exactly what happens. He was willing to hear. Isaiah was willing to go and tell. Samuel here is willing to hear, to listen. And I want you to see one more. I want you to go over to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, it chronicles what goes on with the apostles, the disciples, and Paul, and his group of individuals that he has that has been being brought along with Paul in his ministry and his mission work, starting of the churches. And Paul had a desire. He had a zeal. His first zeal when he was Saul was a zeal for God that was very much misplaced. He had a zeal for God to purge everyone of anything about Jesus Christ. And then the Lord showed him he was wrong. He had a zeal, just like the Jews had a zeal for God, but without understanding the Lord's righteousness in the whole works. And what we find is that zeal was misplaced, but that didn't just stop with Paul. Paul had other zeal. He had a zeal for his own people. He had zeal for his own people, but the Lord said, I'm not sending you to the Jews. I'm sending you to the Gentiles. He tried. He kept working with those Jews, and he was trying to get them to listen. He was trying to get them to understand, and they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't understand. But then here comes along a Gentile going, "What's that? I want to hear that." And then the Gentiles start believing. And that freaks Peter out. The other disciples are scratching their head going, "What's going on here?" The Lord is doing something. He's calling specifically Paul to do a certain ministry. Calls him out. Says, "I want you to separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to go do some work." And here we find that Paul is desiring to do things, and the Lord's saying, "No, I don't want you dealing with these Jews. I don't want you doing those things." And then Paul's like, "Well, I want to go into certain parts of Asia. I want to head eastward and go that direction." And the Lord says, "No. No. I want you going a different way." And we find that as this was going on, that the Lord was stopping him from doing these things, keeping him from going there. But what happens is the Lord calls him to a certain place that had a need where the people would listen. And in verse 9, here they are in Acts chapter 16. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" I mean, he had a clear calling. The Lord gave him this. And what happened here, and I want you to notice, just as Isaiah was willing to go and tell, and Samuel was willing to listen, Paul was willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is how we respond to the call. We may want to go a certain way. We may want to do things a certain way. We may want to do something how we want to do it. Amen? And the Lord said, "No, I want you to go to Macedonia." Macedonia received these things. I mean, here he is in chapter 16. You've got this little fledgling church, a church that many people theorize it was probably Paul's favorite church at Philippi. Because his letter to Philippi was not as aggressive as the church at Corinth, as direct as it was over there in Romans and other places. There's something about the heart that he had for that church at Philippi that was different. But here he is being sent over to that area, and we find, you know, there's Lydia, we find the Philippian jailer, we find that maid that got into stuff cast out of her. We find all these amazing things happening over there in Philippi where Paul and Silas land, and it's just you see the glory of God. Amen? And what happens in verse 10? I want you to notice. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." This is Luke writing this. My mind has a tendency, as we were talking about imagination, to kind of be a little more vivid in the imagination part. I read that and I see Paul in the middle of the night. Here he is getting this vision. And he's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 we got a calling." And he didn't sit there and go, "Man, that's good. All right, I'm going to have to remember that in the morning." Yeah. How many of us remember that in the morning? Exactly. If I get something in the middle of the night, I'm like, reach over to my phone, I'm writing it down. I have one of the ones that can write stuff on. I'm like, I got notes, late night notes. And sometimes I look at the late night notes and go, "What is that?" Put that one back. But he didn't wait. What does it say? And immediately. I can see Paul waking up Luke, wake up. "Wait, what? I got a vision. We're going to Macedonia." "Really?" "Yep. Lord called us to go preach the gospel to him." Okay, go wake up Silas. Goes over here. Luke, talking to Silas. Silas, get up. Silas! Gets him up. He's like, what are we doing? Packing up. Let's go. Where are we going? Macedonia. How? I don't know. We're going. He was willing to go. All of what I'm trying to say with all of this that we find in Scripture as well, many times we're going to have doubt like Moses. Many times we're going to have questions like Moses. I want to say the overriding principle and the overriding spirit that should be in our life is just simply to say, Lord, here am I, send me. I'm willing to hear. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. No questions asked. You want me to do that? I'll do it, Lord. When the Lord called me to be a pastor of a church, I was like, and I remember my prayer. Lord, I am willing to do whatever you want, just not be a pastor. Whoops. From my lips to God's ears, right? And the Lord said, okay. I've been preparing you for this for a long time. And there was more preparation between when I surrendered and tried to start living the will of God according to His word to where the Lord called me to this ministry, to this specific thing. But there had to be a willingness in my heart. There had to be a willingness to say, okay, Lord, if this is what you want, I will say, I did throw out a few fleece during the first 6 months trying to figure out if this is really what the Lord wanted. And the Lord said, not now, not this way, and I'm not doing it the way that it was planned, and so on and so forth. And then the Lord came in with His own plan, His own way, and how He handled it, and it was totally different. But it was the same timeline. Go figure. And I looked at all that, and I went, that's the glory of the Lord. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. We've all seen the glory of the Lord. And if you haven't, start looking at your life and you'll see. Are you willing to do whatever it is God calls you to do? Maybe it is to go up to you as just a saint here and say, I'm praying for you. We sang that song. It was a new song for us, obviously, but we sang the song. I'm praying for you. Maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Maybe it's just a hug. Maybe it's just a moment to say, hey, you know, many of us have tomorrow off. What are you doing for lunch? What are you doing for dinner? You want to go meet for coffee? And just sit and talk about God. Don't talk about your problems. Don't talk about your troubles. Talk about what the Lord has done in your life. There's a little calling. The Lord's preparing us all for something bigger. Let's heed that call. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for the time. I do thank you again, Lord, for your word. And I don't mean to sound trite or repetitive about it, but I don't think we can thank you enough for all that you do for us. For every opportunity we get to hear about the Word of God, for every opportunity we get to hear about your glory, for every opportunity we get to hear about those that you put in Scripture as an example to us, to show us how you work in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that this morning we would apply our hearts unto this wisdom from your Word. That Lord, we would use it in a way that would glorify you. That Lord, we would respond to the calling willingly. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that may be having those questions about their call, that they would just come, that maybe they would ask, and maybe they would seek counsel from your word about what the Lord is doing in their life. Maybe it's a situation, Lord, where maybe they're being called to do something specific right now. The Lord, they would heed that call and they would do it willingly, hearing your word, hearing your voice, seeing your glory to fulfill your will. And most importantly, Lord, if there is somebody here that is maybe hearing the call of salvation, maybe they have not trusted you as their Savior. Maybe they have not received that forgiveness of sins. Maybe they have not been purged of their iniquity. Maybe they don't have a home in heaven. Maybe they're not sure. Lord, if they're hearing the calling of your Spirit this morning, I pray, Lord, they would respond. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you do for us. I thank you again for this time. I thank you for those that are here. And I do pray all of this in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.